T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning.
It says here to take 2 for results in 8 hours. That means we should take 8 for results in 2. Yep.
With Dusty Hara.
Can't see the line, can you, Russ?
No.
And Cam Cleland.
Calm down, Greg. It's soccer. It's soccer.
Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080.
People don't forget.
The Fan.
Oh. All right, house cleaning gate. It thickens. This texture says, I sent a buddy to do a side job cutting grass and trimming bushes. When he was done wanting his pay, I asked what he did with the wood pile. He said, what wood pile? He spent 4 hours at the neighbor's house.
See, neighbors are happy.
I'm thinking the guy that thinks his house is broken into, I think he must be mistaken and had the door unlocked. And we have a listener here that says they were watching K2 just before Jeopardy, so right near 7 o'clock, and saw that story. And they said on there that they thought that the door was unlocked. And I read he was assured that the door was locked.
Well, your news sucks. K2 knows what they're doing.
Wow. That's aggressive.
Yeah, I thought it was.
All right. Well, you can go ahead and watch your K2s. I'll watch KGW. Do you watch the local news? When's the last time you sat down and watched a local news broadcast?
Yeah.
More than 2 minutes.
More than 2 minutes?
Yeah.
I actually follow them on Twitter, so I get more of my information that way. I don't have time to sit down and watch local news. I'm never home at 6 and 6:30, ever.
I will be 100% honest about this. The last probably 3 or 4 times that we've watched the local news, we've turned it off because the stories are like, we can't watch this around like the kids and stuff.
Kind of depressing, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's very depressing, and it doesn't really help inform you of what's going on. It's like, cool, somebody got shot.
Yeah.
Awesome. You know? Like, you can't.
Yeah.
It doesn't give me anything. Like, I know danger's around. Give me something I can use. News I can use.
This Friday's really depressing. Can we pump it up a little bit? We have death.
What's wrong with you?
And breaking in, 102-year-old people, and breaking in and cleaning. Come on, Preston, bring the noise.
Hold on. Breaking in and cleaning your house is depressing news.
It is depressing.
My gosh.
Will, get out of the
getting
way.
Getting soft.
Will, get out of the way
Will,
with your
Will
phone.
Says he watches the local news all the time, and I do too.
Do you really?
I worked in local news for 3 years. So you guys don't have anything to do.
Of course so you have time to watch the news.
Do you find you get more informed on local news?
Yeah, for sure.
See, I like the social media. I can get what I need from the social medias right now, you know? A lot of it. And I love our news people around here, but I just don't get it. Right now, let's get to it. It's our weekend. Would you rather? What are you so antsy about? Why are you hitting your pen?
Let's get some upliftingness here. Come on, Preston. Bring the noise.
It's our weekend. Would you rather? Come on.
I like this beat, too.
A little loud.
It is very loud.
Let the beat run like Lil Wayne. All right.
Wow.
We got 5 categories here for you. Number 1, super fans. Number 2, money or rings.
Whoa, slow down, buddy.
Oh, you write them down. Okay.
Yeah. Super fans, go.
Money or rings. Spirit Airlines. Outdoor wedding season. North Dakota things.
Oh, boy. I'm going to start with North Dakota things.
You're going to start there?
Yep.
All right, we have the Bismarck Tribune dropping this story. Public health officials discovered caged pigeons in the basement of a Chinese restaurant in downtown Fargo, prompting the downtown eatery to publicly apologize.
No.
In a Facebook post on Tuesday, King House Buffet sought to explain why the pigeons were in the basement of the restaurant. Here's the apology. Quote, we want to apologize to our customers. We should not let our employees leave the pigeons in our restaurant's basement when farmers brought those here. And we won't do it again in the future. We also want to mention to the public that we don't have live chickens in our basement and never serve pigeon meat for our customers.
Yeah, right.
The eatery,
I don't buy that one bit.
The eatery was also found to have 7 additional health code violations.
Wait, okay. Oh my God. What is... Why are farmers bringing... They're like, farmers brought us these pigeons. Why?
Again, folks, North Dakota things.
North Dakota.
Carrier pigeons, maybe?
Mike What's Tyson? The would you?
Okay. Well, there's kind of a lot of ways to spin this one. Right, I was going, would you rather eat at a Chinese buffet restaurant in North Dakota or discover that your favorite restaurant in Portland has employees hiding pigeons in its basement? Kind of a shock factor if you're, you know.
You know,
this is going to be a bold claim by
me. If I'm hungry enough, I'll eat anything. I don't care about the pigeons.
So you're not scarred after this Chinese buffet story?
No.
You'd walk right into one in North Dakota and just chow.
I watch those Food Network shows where you travel around the world. You know, we in America, we're really tame. We're pretty soft when it comes to food consumption.
I would rather... Okay, you said one of my favorite restaurants in Portland found to have the pigeons. If it's my favorite restaurant, I like the food. So maybe I like pigeon meat and I never even knew.
I'm right there with you.
So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say I'll go with my favorite Portland restaurant secretly serving me pigeon, because if I like it, I like it.
All right.
I think American food is one of the worst foods in the world. So I think you need it is. It is. Our diets are awful. We're garbage. We need to take more and get outside and experience more.
We live on crap. Cam, you could crush a lot of Chinese buffet food.
I haven't been to a Chinese buffet in so long, but yeah, so long.
All right.
Okay. So I want to go with the Spirit Airlines.
Spirit Airlines. Here we go. 7 people were taken to the hospital after a Spirit Airlines plane was forced to land due to, quote, an unknown odor. The plane was flying from Baltimore to Florida, but quickly had to turn around to Baltimore. 7 people were taken to the hospital as a precaution.
It's a stinky
fart. None experienced any sort of major medical reaction, according to Fox 24 News. The question is, would you rather have to do a 3-hour radio show in a room filled with bad odor?
Well, that's every day.
Do it every day.
Or fly on a 3-hour plane flight where the plane cabin was filled with bad odor?
The radio show every day.
Yeah, we do it every day.
Have you been in this room?
I've been in that room.
Okay,
like really bad. Okay, we're
closet.
Talking really bad odor to the point where the plane needs to turn around and land.
We're doing like a. There's something about the death coffin up in the air.
Yeah, 100%.
I think the air is contaminated no matter what. Like I feel like.
Oh yeah. I mean, how often? I mean, I don't care how many filters you have on those airplanes and how much you think you can scrub it. It's not going anywhere.
Yeah, give me that. Planes
plus,
creep
I'm
me out.
Here,
yeah.
Here.
No, well, they have those.
I have a serious phobia of airplanes. If I can't see out, I start panicking.
Really? You know,
I do. I have to sit near the window and look out the window.
You know they have
those.
Condition. What are those lights? They that are like sanitize a room.
Yeah. I have that for my phone. It's called phone soap.
What?
I have that for my phone.
So it's like an ultraviolet. You put it in a box of ultraviolet.
Yeah, it was
light.
On Shark Tank. It works great.
Why don't they do those for airplanes where it's like when they deboard the plane?
Would it be like the ET people walking in?
Yeah, just like a.
Like
it
everybody
just
has to
like
go
a,
into Intel in the clean room?
It just goes like a poof in the light.
This is like an Independence Day. Mr. President, this is a clean room. Open the door!
Yeah. And it just goes like, and then boom, you can go in because it's an ultraviolet light, you know?
You know what? Somebody did a little swab test of sitting on an airplane seat and they've swabbed here are the most grossest things in an airport. First, the bins you put your crap in. They're worse than a toilet seat.
Oh.
They're worse than a toilet seat and a urinal. The crap you put your bins in. Think about the shoes and people's, the headrests. And the fold-down tray tables. Most disgusting things in the world. Worst bacteria.
I took a flight to Chicago one time, and we got on the flight, and I've never been so upset, like just walking into somewhere. One person was eating curry, and then the other person was eating fish.
Yeah, it's against the rules. You should be able
to. They were like
food
staggered. They didn't know each other. It was just like, those two smells were so intrusive. It's like, why in the world would you think that's an acceptable thing just to bring that on a plane.
I honestly believe that it's their own space. Like, I paid for this chair. I can do whatever I want here.
That is so
communal
rude.
Spaces. I'm telling you, man.
It
communal.
Is rude. Oh, I'm up. Yeah. I'm going to go super fans.
Super fans. All right. This is a homemade version. Would you rather have Drake as your franchise's celebrity hype man or Aaron Rodgers and the Packers O-line chugging beers as your hype team?
Oh, Packers O-line chugging Come beers. Are you on. Kidding
it's
me?
Rock solid easy. Rose chugging
I
beers?
Would never, I would,
I think a lot of people would
wait
say Drake.
Wait a minute.
A lot of
wait
your age
minute.
People
Hold
would
on.
Say Drake.
He's got the airplane.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
He's got the 737.
I don't care, man. We're taking a bus. We're taking a flipping beer bus everywhere we go. Would you rather be on a plane with Drake or be chilling with the O-line and the beer bus?
Beer bus.
You dang right you'd be with the beer bus.
Aaron Rodgers did not seem that hyped at the game. Like, he was just, he never seems that enthusiastic in general.
No, no.
Like,
no,
I mean,
not.
He'll throw one discount double check after a 40-yard touchdown, but generally speaking, he is like, he seems like he's bored with life.
Stuffy dude.
Yeah.
He's like, I mean, yeah. All right. What do we have? Super fans. What's the outdoor one?
Outdoor wedding season. Here we go. So we were talking about Buck's wedding in the potentially 50-degree weather. That is nothing compared to a couple who got married outside in Antarctica in -9°C weather.
Stop it.
Polar field guides Julie Baum and Tom Sylvester from Staffordshire both work in the region, and the pair were married with their stunning wedding photographs taken outside despite temperatures of -9°C. The wedding was attended by 20 of their coworkers. Would you rather get married in, by the way, the equivalent of that is 15 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah, I already know the answer to this.
Would you rather get married in 15 degree weather or 115 degree weather?
Oh, 115,
yeah,
not even close.
A slam dunk.
Full suit, yep.
Full suit, sweating it out.
Yep.
I don't want anything to do with that kind of cold. No. 115, played golf in 115, practiced football in over 110.
See? Yeah, you can do it.
It's not good for you.
Yeah, you think?
You can't put on enough clothes when it's that cold. You can't do that.
No.
You know how long it's going to take to get to your wife after you? It's wedding night. I don't want to have to go through that many layers.
By the way, they were wearing like one layer. They were. I got pictures.
I don't believe it.
If they live there and they work there,
they're used to it.
Oh, yeah. You thicken up. You think it's like an otter?
Your blood thickens.
It does thicken. It's true.
All right. So the last
That'd
one.
That'd be crazy.
The last one, money or rings. This is just is more of a sports question. Klay Thompson lost out on approximately $30 million yesterday when he was not voted to one of the All-NBA teams. When asked about how he would cope with those money implications, he said rings. Would you rather be eligible for a Supermax but not win a ring or not be eligible for a Supermax but win rings?
Rings. All day long. All day long. I'm an iconic player when I walk around with a ring.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about how much money you got. Anyway, there's a lot of rich people. Nobody cares. But if you're part of a championship team, I'm part of a team. See, money is an individual award. A championship means you were part of a great team and you were selfless and you were part of a group that goes down in history. Nobody cares about how much money you have.
Yeah, but I would agree with the rings too, and I think that's why he's making this argument, Klay Thompson is, but I think it is really pissing him off that he lost out of $40 million when he thinks he's one of the best six guards in the NBA because I think he is one of the best six guards in the NBA.
I really don't think he cares about that $40 million. I think he just cares about the notoriety of saying I'm one of the best. He would give up $40 million just to say I'm one or two.
You don't think he cares about $40 million?
Here's the thing is that
I honestly don't. I've sat with guys that don't even care. I've had guys quit and leave training camp that were making $9 and $10 million a year. Then they didn't want to do it anymore because they're like, I don't feel like it anymore.
But here,
I don't care about the money.
Klay Thompson.
Some do, but I don't think Klay does.
Always been slighted on his individual performance because of the fact that he gave up money and didn't take a bigger salary, $20 million to go elsewhere.
Yeah. I don't buy it with him.
He's already given up that money. I think he's up. I think he is upset because his face in that video was crazy.
He
looked upset.
We only played the audio, but if you watch the video, his face is like in
disbelief. He looks like that all the time.
No.
Yeah, every time he misses a shot, he looks
Come
like that.
Come on.
Because it's going in every single time.
Yeah, he was
He's
upset.
Offended that that shot did not go in. Beautiful shot, yeah. By the way.
He does have a great shot. All right, good job on the Would You Rather. That was a good one.
Thank you.
Coming up next, we've got our Q&A. You could win an I'm a Dusty and Cam P1 t-shirt. Get your questions in the hopper right now. And maybe we can help this texter who already has his in. He's having a kid in December. He needs reasons to win his wife over, who wants for reasons why their son should play football. Dusty and Cam on the Fan.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
I have an idea. Do you think it would make money? Like, we know we have, like, these new websites like The Athletic and these paywall services. What if there was like a tab where, you know, they say journalists don't get paid enough anymore for good journalism? What if you could read a story and then give a tip at the end of something where you're like, I thought that this was really good. I appreciate this. I'm going to tip you, sir. Have you ever read something where you're like, I really enjoyed that. That was really good, but I don't really know how to tell you. Instead of putting everything behind a paywall.
Isn't that kind of like... What we do, yeah, I just,
earn your kids like a commission.
Yeah, I just did the old Valley Girl thing. That's a like. Your tip is a like.
Yeah.
Essentially, but you would you would also like to include a financial.
Right.
Would you do that?
There's some I would. Like, I honestly believe Jason Quick throughout the NBA playoffs, I would tip him. I would tip him for what he wrote during the NBA playoffs. I thought he was phenomenal. Mm. His stuff on The Athletic.
He gets paid by The Athletic, and he'd give him a little bit of something extra.
I would.
No.
I'd be like, right. Tip of the cap. And give him a little something
no
extra.
No tipping Pippin here.
Yeah. Would you ever tip anybody if you were like, God, that was good?
I do when it's good service. If you have a good caddy, have you ever had a good caddy? Oh, man, you take care of him.
Yeah, his name was Robot.
Wait, excuse me?
Yeah, he's at Bandon.
Yeah.
His name's Robot. Call me Robot. All right, bro. He had everything on him.
I had a ginger caddy. Boy, did he get a good tip.
He had a lot of sunblock for that guy.
Yeah, he did.
He had mints, gum.
Wow. Wow.
Cigars.
What?
Chew, cigarettes.
You know.
And he was just packed in the pockets and was like, what do you want? What's your vice? I got it.
That's my thing with Uber getting into a Lyft. If your car smells like crap, and there's crap everywhere. But if I get in there and I get in and you have a water, maybe a mint, it's fresh, and you ask me, hey, what temperature do you like? Before I'm even done, I'm like, oh, this person is getting like a $10 tip here. I'm going way above and beyond.
Pretty good.
But if I get into your car and it's a S show.
Took an Uber in San Diego one time and they had an N64 in it.
That's awesome.
Wow.
And lights.
Wow.
You better believe that dude was getting paid.
Yes, yeah. He was.
Yeah.
Go above and beyond.
Yeah. Do a little something extra.
It will pay off in the end.
Mm-hmm. All right. We got a text. We're doing Q&A right now. Best questions get an I'm a Dustin Cam P1 t-shirt. We had our question earlier was about the golf courses in Portland. $800,000 in debt. So that guy's getting a t-shirt. Here's one for that came in for us. Guys, my wife and I are having a baby in December. If it's a boy, what are some good argument points that I can make for him to play football? Bum, bum, bum.
Good arguments for, oh boy.
To play football.
Arguments? There are lots of arguments. Lots of them.
Like?
What? I mean, you want to hear that from the football guy over and over?
Well, that he's literally asking that question.
Well, I know, and I'm trying to go. It's the greatest team sport in the world. Done. Enough said. Done. Now, peace out.
Okay, I don't think that's gonna win his wife over.
No,
here's the thing.
This is a sensitive issue.
Why?
But go ahead. Why? Because there's a lot of hate. There's a lot of. I've gone through this quite often. I have a lot of. I have a lot of parents out there that say, I'm never letting my kids play football. Just never. Just never letting them do it. So I just look at them and go, okay, I guess you're never letting them drive a car then. Never going to let them do anything outside the house.
My wife and I had these conversations because, I mean, there are legitimate questions about it. It's like, it wasn't, oh, he's not going to play, but it was, okay, what are the questions about it? I will tell you this much. My son is now 2, and my wife is on board, because you quickly realize boys, they run into S all the time.
Need to get their energy out.
My son put a bucket on his head and ran into a wall, and my wife is like, all right, you know, he's going to bump his head, bang his head a lot over his life. Like, obviously, football is dangerous, but a lot of things that we do in life are dangerous, mm-hmm, too. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that you need to be cognizant of. And as he grows up, you know, you'll see all the things, the stupid things that boys do. But also, think of the life lessons that you learn through the game of football. And it was something that really stuck with me through the Keenan Lowe, Park Rose thing. Mm-hmm. Is the one thing that he brought up when he got done was a lesson that Scott Frost put into his mind in a meeting room for a football practice at the University of Oregon. In a moment where a student comes in with a gun into a classroom, it was like Coach Frost always told us, you will be ready for a moment before it even happens. And there's so many lessons and stories like, not like specifically like that, but like that, that you can relate to your everyday life.
In a world full of brands and individuality and my own Xbox, and whether I get my pictures up on social media and whether my Instagram account is, am I an influencer? In this world full of me and I as an individual, football feels like it's that last real breath of I need you together as a group. And I look at it as there's a lot of other sports. Baseball is truthfully an individual sport when you go one-on-one. I mean, it's a pitcher versus a batter. You do have a group of guys out there, but it's 9 innings of one-on-one. Basketball's turned into, I'm just going to go jump from team to team to AAU. I solo ball. I mean, it's hero basketball. It's individual wrapped around a masquerading as team. In the end, football, you can't do anything. A quarterback can't be successful without his linemen. He cannot have a chance without his defense stopping it. You need each other more than anything. And that connection that you get from the locker room, and it's a sport where you practice more than you play. So you're around each other, the friendships you have, the fight, and being together, it's, you can't replicate it. It's a togetherness. And I'm for me, the rest of my days, I get a chance to be around football guys. It is like we were apart for 5 minutes. We just immediately connect.
Yeah.
And that is why there is that. It's a brotherhood. You can't put it in words.
Yeah. All right. 55305. The Better You Today text line. Q&A. Football, baseball, basketball, life, sports, whatever. Send them our way. You could get, and I'm a Dustin Cam P1 t-shirt.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 55305 is the Better You Today text line. Q&A, we do this every single Friday at this time. I knew we could get you going on that. Just took a little prodding.
There's been some really good responses, and one is a baseball response. I don't want to read it all. I'm not poo-pooing baseball. I love every sport for their own.
No, you said Cam hates baseball.
No, I love baseball. I mean, I deep rooted. It was my first sport. I fell in love with basketball, baseball. I love those sports. I was trying to answer my thought process of what football does. Trying to help you sell football. Baseball has some great lessons, life lessons. It does. I learned more in my career from playing professional football, college baseball, and also playing basketball and being around the best players in the world. I just learned more from being a part of football than I did from any other sport.
Yeah, and I played for, you know, one of the winningest coaches in high school football in Oregon's history, Craig Rooker. And I'll never forget kind of one of the conversations I had with him, and he was talking about the kids that come back. And he goes, you know, the kids that will write and the kids that will go out of their way to come back are usually the kids that they weren't my star players. And they say, I got so much out of that experience. And that's something to think about as well. Is like, he goes, it's not the kids that are all league. It's not the kids that are all state. He goes, a lot of them were the guys that never really played.
You're part
they
of
got
it.
They got a ton out of it. And those are the guys that come back 20, 30 years later to him and say it was something special.
Don't you? I mean, do you remember that first time you put on a uniform for your team as a football player? What it's like to just even when you're even when you're a freshman,
I puked
the first time you did that. I didn't feel that with football. I mean, the first time you put on that Little League uniform or those times, but that first time I walked out on Friday night as a Cedar Woolley Cub, I can tell you exactly what happened to me. I mean, I started panicking. I was like, I can't believe the lights are on. I can't replicate that feeling in any other. You can't. That first time walking out in Husky Stadium, for anyone else, it's a Duck or for a Cougar, or if you're talking about the Beavers, the first time you're walking out, ask anybody that played at that level. You ask Will. Ask Sook. Yep. Sook might hate it. I don't know.
Everybody knows that feeling.
And
it doesn't matter where you go to school or where you play. You know? Could be, you know, a town of 200. It could be, you know, in front of, as you said, 90,000 people or whatever.
You won't get that feeling in any other sport, and just in my humble opinion, you just won't.
All right, more questions coming on the Better You Today text line, 55305. Should the NBA go back to no three-point line? It'd promote actual plays and less ISO and feel way more strategy. It's exciting, but games are getting boring with so many three-point shots. Whoa. Hmm. Actually, I think the numbers say that the ball has moves more when the three-point is available. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Because isolation ball, you would just have one-on-ones clearing guys out of the lane, trying to get into the lane. It wouldn't eliminate a deeper shot. It would promote more pick and rolls, but I guess we already see that. It's either a pick and roll, get to the bucket, or shoot a three. And guys would still shoot if they eliminated three-point. But I'd be interested to see. One thing I would hate is if they brought a four-point line in.
Yeah, I don't think that would be terrible. I don't need to see the Harlem Globetrotters game. I don't need to see that.
Shoot, the best shooters in the league, they'll already do it. Dame, Steph, guys will pull up from back there.
I think it would shorten guys' careers.
Woo.
Because it would make the bigs have to come out even further. They're already barely hanging on. The bigs can't even make it through a season, barely. You can imagine trying to watch Jokic go out there and shoot four-pointers. I mean, those guys running up and down the court, it's already hard enough.
No.
I mean, the guys are getting taller and bigger, but they're just not lasting.
I think they should move it back.
Like more?
The three-point line?
I think it's fine.
I think it would discourage.
The guys are shooting 40%.
But I think it would discourage guys that camp out around there that probably shouldn't. You know what I mean?
James Harden.
You know? I mean, how many guys in the NBA, though, you're like, what are you doing? Like Damon, Steph, and CJ, and Klay Thompson, those guys? Heck yeah. Let them shoot that. And if they move the three-point line back, that's not going to affect them. But I think you just see so many of those shots that are just bad.
It was amazing watching that playoff game last night. It was a three-point contest in the second half. I mean, there were...
They're tired.
It felt like 90% of the second half was just like either Giannis or Kawhi driving or just any of the role players just chucking threes.
You want to know what the three-point shot is now compared to basketball 10, 15 years ago, and you can go back into the 90s and the early 2000s. The three-point shot is what basketball used to be, where you drove around, the big kind of walked down, planted on the block, and you dumped it down. You got a sky hook or you got the Shaq spin around because it was lazy. I mean, it's just fatigue at that point. You're trying to get the closest shot. Well, they're looking at it analytically going, man, we're tired. We don't want to run. Let's just shoot this up. Maybe we'll get in. Maybe it'll be a rebound. It's just a different kind of basketball to watch.
Well, and tell me that Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain, Bill Walton wasn't iso ball.
It was Kareem completely was iso ball. Yes, it was. Dump it down to the big. Here comes the Kevin McHale post moves up and under.
I'm going
to
back your butt down, and then I'm going to pull a Sigma. I'm going to drop step.
The dream shake?
Yeah. I mean,
it's just different kind of iso ball.
Just moved it away from the basket. All right, now, Zach and Eugene, if you were a high school recruit now, would you still choose to play at your current alma mater? Yeah.
You would go to?
I would go to Southern.
You would?
100% of the time.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously.
Does this mean that if we're as good as we are now, or if we were a really good player?
No, like, I mean, you have to take your current, you have to take your situation.
As we currently are? So a 43-year-old?
No, not a 43-year-old. I'm talking like as a high school, you had the options. Would you still choose your school? Yeah. Dang right I would.
As we sit, boy, that's tough. Yeah, I think I might, but the options are it's just so much easier. Back then, it was because I wanted to be close to home and be on television. Now everybody's on TV.
Yeah,
and get a chance to go play in the NFL. The options are tremendous.
I chose Southern when we had mold growing in our locker rooms, and the place was a dump. Hmm. Now they have these fancy facilities and things are nice. Heck yeah, I'd go back there.
Sure.
And I chose it when it was terrible. I'd still choose it now.
Yeah. I'm trying to put myself as a recruit in nowadays and really and think about what are the big priorities. Playtime, coaching, get me to the NFL.
Actually, you know, one of the things that I would have done, I would have tried to go to an Ivy League school if I could have. Hmm. I would have tried to get into one of them.
Yeah, because that looks really good on a resume. No offense to Southern, but.
Oh, none taken.
Sorry.
Oh, none taken. That's a justified shot.
Yeah.
We'll take it. Directional schools and Ivy League schools don't really mean that much. But, yeah, I probably would have tried to do that. I mean, I wouldn't have happened, but I would have tried a little bit harder.
What was your high school GPA?
Oh, I was a 3.5.
Oh, that's solid.
That's barely on the honor roll.
The courtesy little. Oh, that's solid.
Well, was that Preston's a courtesy probably like slap? A 3.9. What was your 3.9 GPA?
3.97, maybe. 3.98, something like that.
Good for you.
It's all right. Hey.
Showing, I had to battle back to get mine a respectable GPA. There were a couple times I didn't. Showing up's half the battle.
It's part of the deal.
In high school, if you show up, you got like a 3 point pretty much.
That's it.
Oh, is that how it works?
Yeah.
I guess my 3.67 wasn't very credible then.
Nope.
I just showed up.
Yep. True.
True that.
So did I.
Yeah.
All right. 55305. Redo divisions in the NBA. Only one Northwest team in the Northwest division is Portland. Just a small annoyance. Divisions just get rid of them.
Yeah, waste of time.
Don't even need them.
Hang a banner.
They mean nothing.
Didn't Neil O'Shea mention division championships in his post-game or his postseason presser? Yeah, he did. Yes, he did.
Yeah, he said something like, you know, Terry's won two division championships or something like that.
Okay.
Well, you didn't win one this year. Denver did. Reigning Northwest Division champs, the Denver Nuggets. In your face. Take that for data.
Most useless thing in all of sports is the NBA divisions.
Most useless thing in sports. Oh, boy. I think you might be right.
I still have my NFC West championship hat and t-shirt because that was a big deal. It was hat and t-shirt day. I love hat and t-shirt day. It's a big deal.
But it should be a big deal to win the Northwest division. It was far and away the best division in basketball this year. I don't even think it's close. Denver, Portland, Utah, OKC.
I would argue that 95% of the people out there couldn't even name the divisions and who's in them.
There was 351 win teams and a 49 win team in the Northwest Division. And everybody's like, yeah, whatever. Doesn't really matter. All right, 55305, more Q&As. And we shall get you a winner for our number threes, Dusty and Cam P1 t-shirt.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
Buck is getting hitched today. Ryan Buckley, our producer.
Put that ring on it.
Hercules. If you're going to run now, Buck.
No, run to the altar.
Well, I'm just
run.
Letting
ski
him know.
Or snowshoe into
sled
it.
Sled down.
You have to sled down.
Ryan Buckley is getting married outdoors in Tahoe. It is heated up. It is a sultry 45 degrees, partly cloudy. Rain is down to 30% at 6 o'clock, 40% at 5, which I'm assuming
isn't the wedding. I thought it was at 2.
It's at 2?
I don't know. I thought it was a mid-afternoon one.
Oh, he's screwed then. That'd be 60% chance of rain.
Umbrellas?
At 2.
Umbrellas and ponchos.
70% at 3. Ryan, you're so screwed. Okay. You're so screwed.
Just make her happy. Smile. She looks beautiful. That's it. Yeah. Hopefully he wrote his vows this morning.
Yeah. Drop a few sponsors in there and can record it and sell it on the interwebs.
Get it going.
All right. Text, win, shirt. That's what we do. Q&A. 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock hours, if you text in a question and we deem it the best question of that hour, you will win an I'm a Dusty and Cam P1 t-shirt. I don't know what this guy's name is, but he just won himself a t-shirt. He's the guy that asked the question, my wife and I are having a baby in December. If it's a boy, what is a good argument that it can make for him to play football? We got a lot of really good feedback on that.
We did. And one of the best things that was text in after that, and I can go into it, it says, there is more diversity of athletes. You have to learn to work with that. You don't get with other sports. I couldn't be more true. I have friends that are from California, Texas, different cultures, different ethnicities. Egypt. I played with an Egyptian right tackle, Mustafa Sobi. I mean, we had guys from all over, different walks of life, different cultures, different family backgrounds. We were all together for one goal. And that's kind of what it was, is that everybody is different. But for some reason, football players, you can just come together for a moment, and it's once a week. That's the other special part about football. It's not every day. You don't play a 4-game set. You don't travel and go to one city to the next. You fly together. You practice together. You work for that goal for 6 days, and then you come together for that 3-hour moment, and it's just like that massive energy connection, and then you go do it all over again. The patience it takes to play that sport is it. It's a love affair of it, but it's hard. Very, very difficult.
Do you need to go like clean yourself up after that speech?
The thing is, football was not my favorite sport. It still isn't. I mean, it's like third. It's like golf, baseball, and then football, basketball. It's how I rank it. I'm just being honest with what it meant to me and what it learned. It's given me everything from here. It's the reason why I'm sitting in this chair. I'm going to ask a lot of people that don't like me here, but that's why I'm sitting here.
Fair is fair. All right. I liked it. I thought that was real and passionate, man. Enjoy it. We got a little rumor watch. According to NBC Washington, D.C., that is, as for the rumor mill, one name for president of basketball operations is sticking out for the Wizards, Neil Olshey. Numerous sources told NBC Sports Washington of the Wizards' interest in the Blazers' president of basketball ops. So people are pursuing the GM bro, Neil Olshey.
Okay. If you have success, why wouldn't you?
Yeah. But, I mean, why would you take a step back if you're Neil Olshey?
Is it?
Okay. I mean, that's not a shot. It's
That sounds like a shot.
They went 32-50.
Do they have more money?
No.
Do they have not $19 million over the salary cap?
And guess what? Their point guard has a ruptured Achilles that they're paying his supermax to.
Well,
my God.
But it's a young and up-and-coming team?
Is it, though?
You got the number 2 overall pick. Or, I'm sorry. I mind blanked. I'm sorry. You don't. Yes. Ruptured Achilles. I'm sorry.
No.
I was thinking of something else.
John Wall's hurt. You have Bradley Beal, Trevor Ariza. Ooh, the Bobby Portis edition was actually nice. They have Bobby Portis. You know who Thomas Bryant is?
No, I don't.
Thomas Bryant, Indiana, second year, second round pick. He's the 42nd overall pick. That's your starting center. And then some guy named Tomas Satoransky.
Well, maybe sometimes you want a new challenge. Maybe you turn the page and take a new challenge in life.
Okay.
Have you ever got to that point where you said, you know, I'm pretty comfortable. I always like the feeling of when you're comfortable is when it's time to make a change. Mm-hmm. Or push yourself for a change, for a new opportunity. Maybe Neil Olshey is like, hey, you listen. He's going to listen. You always pick up the phone and you always listen. Doesn't mean you have to take it, but it's fair.
All right. Yeah, we're going to find out about that. It very well could happen, you know. And whether you like Neil Olshey or not, it would be a loss if Neil Olshey left the Portland Trailblazers. He has made savvy moves. He has a very good connection with the players and obviously Terry Stotts as well.
I agree.
But I don't anticipate him taking the job in Washington unless he really likes D.C. He wants to run for president.
I don't know why you'd go east. Just in the NBA, all the players want to play out west. They just it would be a step back.
How do you feel about Donovan McNabb saying he's a Hall of Famer?
Yeah, he came out and said that I have better numbers than Troy Aikman, and I'm this.
He does.
And that. Yeah, he does. But it's more about
rings.
It's not just about numbers. It's not. If that was true, then there'd be a lot. Then Matt Stafford is a walk-in Hall of Famer.
Yeah, that'd be true. But he got to Super Bowl.
He did.
He was like a, was it three-time All-Pro? They're pretty good.
He's on the verge. He's definitely on. I'm not going to say he didn't have a great career. He did.
Do you know where he ranks all-time passing list?
No, I don't.
35th.
Okay.
Behind David Garrard. Or no, that's quarterback rating. My God.
The QBR.
It's not yards. It's not, yeah. He's 35th. He's behind David Garrard, just ahead of Jay Cutler. I don't think that is your Super Bowl or your Hall of Fame worthy quarterback rating there. And you don't have rings to go with it.
It seems like Donovan McNabb is just spewing more and more look at me moments now.
Yeah, I saw a great meme. It's the Spider-Man meme of, you know, the pointing at each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it said Donovan McNabb and Paul Pierce.
Paul Pierce is the most egregious, I will circle everything back to me guy at any point in time. He might be.
He said Kawhi Leonard reminds him of himself.
Do you think he's serious or is he really just playing this role now?
I think he's turned it up a notch, but there's a reason why it got to the point where it's like crank it up a notch is because, yeah, he has believed it. I don't know. Oh, wild. All right, have a long... Yeah. Great extended weekend. You're going to Bend?
I'm going to Bend. If any other baseball families are heading to Bend, I'll see you over there. Bring your umbrella.
Bring your umbrella
and your sleeping bag. You get toasty.
Why a sleeping bag?
Because, I don't know.
Oh, just everybody be cold. Sleep outside?
No, I'm taking the RV.
Yep, perfect.
Taking the RV?
You can see Cam pulling a Cousin Eddie.
It's a Winnebago, so you won't miss me.
Esser's full! Yeah. All right, we're off on Monday. We'll be back Tuesday. Have a great Monday. Up next is the Herd of the Colin Cowherd at noon to 3 during break, 37 primetime with Isaac and Sook. See ya.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.